last week, we began a series on a number of scriptures that we're going to go over the next few weeks here that look at some of the prophetic things that are taking place right before our eyes. And so if you didn't know, if you did not get a copy of this, last week we looked at the accuracy of Scripture in relation to the prophecies that have been fulfilled about the four kingdoms of this world that have come, and just how intricately fulfilled they were, and giving us the understanding that just as we can look at history and see that fulfillment, that the Scriptures that are ahead of us about what is to come, that they are going to be fulfilled to the T as well. And we need to have that in our heart, that God's word is the eternal truth upon which our lives are built, and that we are not taken aback. We're not scared by these things. Again, these scriptures are not given to scare us, but to prepare us. And to know that no matter how out of control it looks in this world, that God is in control. God knows what's going on. And he's told us these things so that when they happen, Jesus said, you will remember that I warned you. And again, thank God it's not all warnings. Thank God there is good things that God works in us, that we can love each other, care for each other, stand together as brothers and sisters, and reach out to a hurting world. And that is what the church needs to keep before us. The politics, yeah, I mean, there's lots of things right now in politics that cause us to question. And I'm questioning too. And I'm like, Lord, you know. And we got to keep our eyes on our goal, our calling. And that is to win the lost to Christ. That is what the church's job, regardless of who's in the presidency. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to disciple people. I want to start some small. I would love to do a study on the book of Daniel, because these sermons, this is tough to preach on a Sunday, because these are that passage today, we're obviously not going to go verse by verse, because we'd be here all day and you'd be pretty ticked off at me. In fact, you'd probably get up and walk out. And I couldn't blame you. The mind can only take what the seat can endure. But this passage today, as a kid, I remembered reading Revelation. And I had to say, I loved reading Revelation. I know when my kids were growing up, they hated it. Oh, it's terrible. I don't want to think of those things. And but now it's pretty neat. Rachel, we had a long talk numerous times on this. Curtis out in Colorado, he called the other day. Dad, is this it? It's like, no. There's a lot of things starting to happen, but it's neat to see that God's word sown in our hearts. People are starting to like, but what I'm concerned about, I think a lot of the church is asleep in the light. I don't think people are taking seriously the events that are going on and how quickly our life can change and just be radically different from what we have been used to. And I'm sounding the alarm. We've been sounding the alarm. We've been trying to get people to see and to understand what is going on. But I think many are just kind of got their head in the sand, and it's sad. But we need to recognize what's going on. So this morning, we're first of all going to look at the history of Babylon. And Babylon is mentioned 260 times in Scripture, and is second in importance only to Jerusalem. Biblically, it is viewed as the devil's city, while Jerusalem is viewed as God's city. There are always in opposition. They are always in opposition to each other. Babylon is the result of a turning away from God's plan of salvation, and is political and religious, and seeks to bring all these things together into one. and you look at through history, when Nebuchadnezzar was in Babylon, the actual nation of Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon, that is exactly what they did. And what did they do to anyone who opposed them? They threw them in the fiery furnace, like we see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which stood against that. And that is a type. We see these kingdoms throughout history are types of representations of what is yet to come, and that's what we're going to look at next week, the coming one world government that is going to take control. And no amount of prayer is going to change that fact. It is going to happen. My prayer is that it's not right now. I would like some more time to be able to work in the freedoms that we have. Wouldn't you say amen to that? I want to have the freedom that we enjoy now. We have to leave this into God's hands and know that he is with us every step of the way. But Babylon is never been a good place for religious faith in Yahweh in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, serving Jesus from your heart. And that is the challenge. And as mentioned, there seems to be two aspects of this Babylon. One is religious, and one is political and commercial. And we're going to kind of look at the two different things here on that. But it embodies one great satanic system. Again, when Satan tempted Christ and took him and showed him the kingdoms of the world, he said, "All this I will give to you if you just will bow down and worship me." And you could say, why didn't Jesus say they weren't yours to give? But Jesus knew when he gave Adam and Eve dominion over the world, when they sinned, they turned that over to Satan. And Satan knew that Jesus was up to something. He didn't know exactly. That's why we don't have scripture saying exactly in little pieces exactly how Jesus was going to accomplish God's plan. It's kind of a verse here, a verse there, scattered throughout the Old Testament, and it wasn't until after Jesus' resurrection, because the apostles didn't get it either. And it's like, then it says, Jesus opened their eyes, and they're like, wow, it was all there. And we need to take that into our heart today, the same thing. There are verses in the New Testament and in the Old Testament that are going to show us a picture of what God is up to. And but Jesus came, and he lived in this world. And when he died on the cross, and that's why the book of Revelation begins with Jesus saying to the apostle John that I hold the keys. Jesus took them, and Jesus has taken that victory back from Satan. But the thing is, we have this intervening time, which we call the church, where the church is to take this message of Jesus' victory into the world. And it's this Babylon system that opposes us throughout history. So the kingdoms from last week that we looked at, they all, although Cyrus under the Medes and the Persians actually was very kind to God's people and did tremendous things. So there are many times leaders in these nations that are good leaders, that aren't the devil incarnate as sometimes they come across in how they treat people. But we're going to look here a little bit at this mystery Babylon. As you know, the city of ancient Babylon is in modern-day Iraq, about 50 miles south of Baghdad, on the Euphrates River. And what we may not know is that prior to Desert Storm and the conflict in Iraq, Saddam Hussein, however you want to pronounced it. I think it was George Bush that always said Saddam Hussein. And had for several years been working to uncover the ancient ruins of Babylon with a view of rebuilding that city itself and establishing himself as practically the incarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, the great Babylonian king, which we looked at here a while back, who took Judah captive from 606 B.C. to 586. This captivity by Nebuchadnezzar began the times of the Gentiles, the period of Gentile domination over Jerusalem and Israel, which has and will continue to keep all descendants of David from sitting on the throne of Israel until the return of the Lord himself. You know what? I don't know. You guys watch YouTube. I'm sure you do. If you don't, I just seen a thing in Israel. They had a huge gathering of the Jews basically crying out for Messiah to come. And it's like, wow, you look at these things that are going on around the world because they're seeing some things that are like, oh, it's like, Lord, we need this Prince of Peace. And what the prophet Zechariah said is that in the time when Jesus does return, it says the land of Israel is going to mourn for the one they pierced. They're looking for a religious leader to rise in this time and a political leader to free them of the oppression of Babylon. And but guess what? It's not going to come in this world. There's going to be a false thing, which we're going to look at next week. We have to take this to heart. Man, there's stuff happening. Now, Babylon comes from the Hebrew word Babel, which some say is a Hebrew form of the Assyrian Babili, which meant gate of God, and is used of the ancient city on the banks of the Euphrates River. In Hebrew, though, Babel means confusion. And Babylon is first found in Genesis 10 in the Table of Nations. And Babel is the first reference to Babylon and its beginnings. Nimrod is recorded as the founder of Babel, later called Babylon. And Nimrod's nature and character are seen in both his name and his actions described in Genesis 10. His name means let us revolt or rebel. It didn't have this meaning to the Babylonians, but this is the biblical meaning by the context and by the form of the word in Hebrew. In Genesis 10:8, he is called the Mighty One. In 10:9, a mighty hunter before Yahweh, and actually it means against Yahweh. A kingdom is formed as a result of his tyranny or the exercise of absolute force. God's ideal for a king is a shepherd who leads his people under God and in God's plan. Nimrod was against God and his plan and formed his own kingdom by force. And we know in the Tower of Babel, remember all the stuff from Genesis 10 where the world came together as one and built this big tower into the heavens. And God came down and judged them, and that's where the different languages of today. Now, people from our modern critical time period laugh and mock at this stuff. But that is where Scripture said all the different languages come from, is at that point in history, God gave the different peoples of different lands different languages, so they couldn't all speak the same language. And when we consider that account, we learn the reason that the nations spread out and fill the earth, separating into different areas with different languages, was because of divine judgment on a rebellious people that basically shook their fist in the face of God. And ancient history reveals that it was a common practice to build huge mounds or towers called ziggurats, and they were made of sun-dried brick. One such ziggurat was discovered at Erech, a place in Nimrod's kingdom going back to 3000 BC. These were sacred temple towers dedicated to heathen deities, often in connection with astrology, the zodiac, and the mother-child cult. And it's like, whoa, I bet you didn't know all of that. I'm trying to give you a good history today. Because of God's judgment, the descendants of Noah stopped building these cities, and its name was called Babel, a short name to confuse. And that's literally what it means. And so this became the central city of Babylonia, even beyond the time of Nebuchadnezzar, into the Medes and the Persians, and to Alexander the Great. The Apostle Peter said, maybe have written from there. In fact, we talked about it when we looked at Daniel, that Daniel was a prophet there. And a lot of the Babylonian people came and listened to him because his interpretations of dreams were right on. And they recognized, and we mentioned about at Jesus, the wise men from the east coming. It is thought to have been that these were people who, under Daniel's leadership, when he was in Babylon as a captive, he taught them the Jewish hope of Messiah and the things to look for. And it's like, it is thought that those years that had passed and that they came, that that word came, and the people who actually were following the things that Daniel had taught them recognized, wow, the things are set for what have taken place, and they traveled for Jerusalem. Interesting. Jerusalem, God's city. All right, so this gives us an understanding of Babylon. Babylon stands against God and his ways, an alternative spirituality of man in his effort to do as he pleases to worship God. This is exactly what Satan has intended from the beginning of sin entering our world, where he said to Adam and Eve, did God really say? That is the big question. And so people said, nah, I'm going to do things my way. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. That's pretty much a common theme throughout history. We want to do it our way. And Scripture says we're called to do it God's way and in his spirit and in his time. And so the God who created mankind in his image is reaching out to us, loving us, and calling us to a relationship with himself. And yet the enemy of our souls, his whole effort through all of history is to receive actual worship of mankind, for basically him deceiving them into believing that he is God. That is his ultimate desire. So let's first of all look at this spiritual Babylon. Revelation 17. Now, I'm not going to read Revelation 17, but Revelation 17 talks about this prostitute who sits on the waters, which are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. And again, it's this counterfeit spirituality. All the religions of the world are placed into this, would you say, amalgamation of approaches to God. And throughout history, we have seen different manifestations of these religious entities and beings and teachings. And we can see this counterfeit spirituality. In fact, going right back to Babylon and back to Nimrod. Now, this is some of the things that actually took place in that time. Ancient records indicate that Nimrod had a wife named Semiramis, and who was the founder and first high priestess of the Babylonian mystery religion. She gave birth to a son named Tammuz, whom she claimed was conceived miraculously. Boy, does this sound familiar? This son was considered savior of his people and, in effect, is the first false messiah, a counterfeit. Have we had that throughout history? Yes, we have. We're going to look at next week some of the things that have taken place in history, types of antichrist, types of leaders that have come and thought they're going to take over the world. In fact, Antiochus Epiphanes is one of them. And he actually went into the Jewish temple and made himself as God and sacrificed a pig on the altar. So we see these types throughout history pointing again to the one last world system where there is going to be this one last attempt at this. But the rites incorporated into this worship of the mother who was called the Queen of Heaven. And if you want to go into the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah is where this is referred to actually four times in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 7 and Jeremiah 44 refer to this. And these rites varied, and the idol images often varied from country to country as the cult spread from one location to another. They all contained one central feature, the worship of the goddess mother and her child. Often the names changed, but no matter where you went, pictures and images of a mother with a child in her arms were found. The religious system which began in Babel became the mother, the source of all pagan religions of the world. This is the reason why in Revelation 17, she is called the mother of harlots. This system spread basically through the whole world. And sad to say, Israel got involved. And because of their involvement is why the prophets had to confront them about their turning their back and walking away from God. That's what we see with the prophets. And we see with Elijah as we looked at them. And Elisha, they had to confront a people who were getting sucked into this Babylonian spirit of a whole different relationship, not with God, but with the enemy of our souls. And the big thing, sad to say, Satan just doesn't, quote, use other religions. He even comes right into the church. He comes right in among us to lie and to deceive with contrary teachings to Scripture, to blind and deceive people. Jesus warned us, Matthew 24, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. For Christ or false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. So we see these warnings. The Apostle Paul talked about people having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. That the time would come when men and women would not put up with sound doctrine, but to suit themselves, they would gather together around them a bunch of teachers teaching and preaching what they want to hear. Do you think that's happening today? Oh, yeah. We've got churches, sad to say, that are throwing the Bible to the wind. And I mentioned it last week. If I didn't believe the Bible, I wouldn't be a pastor. I'd be out living in the world. What's the purpose? But we have lots, sad to say, that are in ministry that really don't believe this book. And again, scriptures warn us of this. Just like in the Old Testament, there were lots of priests. Same thing. They did not have a relationship with Yahweh. They did not have a relationship with the God who holds our very life in his hands and is calling us. And so we are warned of these things. So we must test the spirits. We must truly make sure that what we believe aligns with Scripture. Otherwise, we can get sucked into this spirituality of Babylon. Now, the next aspect is commercial Babylon. Now, this gets into our passage today out of Revelation 18. The business of Babylon, the world system, the political power, the power of just business. And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with business or anything inherently wrong with politics. But it's when this combination all comes together where it tries to become all-controlling. Like, remember what happened in Nazi Germany when Hitler came to power? He came out of nowhere, too. And everyone thought he was just some fringe guy with just, but boy, when he came, what did he do then? As soon as he got to power. And what do we see with all these tyrants throughout history? When they come to power, what happens? Do they allow the people who disagree with them to just go on with life? Oh, no. Oh, no. Throughout history, we have seen this. When they come to power, they come against everyone that dares question anything they're doing, their narrative, their agenda. And sad to say, I don't know about you, I am seeing some of that same attitude right here in our own country today. And God help us to wake up. But we are warned about storing up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. We are told to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where rust does not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that is the thing. Where is our treasure this morning? It needs to be centered in the Lord, because if we're caught up in the world system, then we can get sucked in very easily. And that is the warning, that it's going to suck us in. And so, the Babylonian spirit has spanned the ages of history. Now, let's go and take a look. You think, am I ever going to get it? Yeah, I am. And now, this morning, there's a lot of people, lots of different ideas about who Babylon the Great is. As a kid, I read this, and I mentioned that, and it's like, man. And I thought, no, it can't be the United States. There's too many things in that passage that don't fit us. But you know, as time has gone on, and stuff has gone on in our country, and again, I am not saying this morning that we are Babylon the Great. But I tell you, you read these passages that Marilyn just read, and I want to just highlight a few things this morning, and I want us to pray like never before that we're not Babylon the Great, because there is a lot of indicators in this passage. In fact, I just want to read verses 1 and 2 here. It says, after this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. She has become a home of demons. This means that at one point, she wasn't. She was not this way. Now, I want you to think of America. We were a nation founded on religious liberty and religious freedom based on the Bible and the Christian faith, no matter what the revisionists of history are trying to teach today. And was this country perfect? No, it never was perfect. Not at all. But I think all of us realize, as we look at us as a nation and all the things that we've come through up to this point, we are truly a blessed nation. A nation in all of history that has never had the blessings that we have today as a people. And now let's just go back over the past 50 years and look at some of the things that have taken place. June 25th, 1962, our Supreme Court decided prayer should be banned in public schools. And what was the result? We went into the turbulent 60s. Rioting, the free love, the drugs, it all flowed in to our society because we said, we don't want you, God. Now, one of the things is about God is he's patient. He's loving. He's continuing to reach out and call us. Then we come to January 22nd, 1973, an abortion ruling that women were able to take the life of their unborn children. And to date, over 62 million babies have been murdered in their mother's womb. The safest place for a baby to be should be in their mother's womb. And yet, we, again, shake our fist in the face of God and say, we determine how we want to live. The Babylonian spirit, we're going to do it our way. And God, life doesn't begin until we say it begins. Even though science obviously can recognize at conception, life begins. The baby starts to grow and mature. Fingerprints and all the beauty of a man and a woman created in the image of God. And yes, Satan hates it all. And that's why you're seeing the family unit being attacked and mocked and ridiculed in our country. It's because this is Satan's heart. He hates God. He hates God's people. He hates God's word. And he's doing everything he can to rid people of this. And we see the horror of this continuing and getting even worse, as we just saw, was it in January this year, where New York and Virginia both said, you can murder a baby outside, even after birth now, if you don't think it's going to be healthy. It's like, wow. Or for whatever reason. And you have the freedom to do that. Sad. And then we see, because of the sexual promiscuity that we're witnessing, AIDS, which has killed over 700,000 in America, 32.7 million as of 2017 in the world, just the many things that are going on, and then the drug and the alcohol epidemic, which is destroying us. And then, sad to say, we're seeing the warnings of the prophet Isaiah, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Man, I start looking at this and I thought, man, this is describing us. This is us. We have become this haunt. And then it says, all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. You look at the pornography that flows from the United States of America to the other parts of the world. The pushing of abortion on other nations. Now, yeah, they're the communist countries, again, they don't believe that there's a God, so they've been doing this all along. But supposedly a nation that was a Christian nation, and Barack Obama was correct when he came in and said that America is no longer a Christian nation. He is right. I'm sad to say, we sure don't act like a Christian nation. Again, making me think of Revelation 18:2. We have become. We weren't this way, but now we have become this way. It's like, God help us. And now, as we as a church, do we see this? Do we see this whole passage here? And you just look at the people of the world, and I'm not going to read it all again. Marilyn read it very, very appropriately. The things that are done. The rich people of the world became rich through us. You look at, where is commerce centered? It's the good old U.S. of A. Where is Wall Street? This seems to, our dollar is the basis of the world economy. We're seeing all this, and it's like, boy. It's like, yeah, everyone, as America goes, so goes the world. And sad to say, America seems to be turning. In fact, Ravi Zacharias, I remember him saying, as he's traveled around the world, now Ravi went to be with the Lord, probably the Lord took him to spare him what he's witnessing, or what we're witnessing here, is that he said people would come up to him, what is happening in America? What is going on? You guys are like totally changed from the way you used to be. And it's like, yeah, we shove our liberal agendas down people's throats and want them to commit abortion. We support abortion around the world, not just here in our country, but around the world. It's like, whoa, pushing these agendas. And again, all of this should break our hearts. And it does. My heart, and my wife knows, I don't think there's a night that goes by that I don't wake up. Last night, I went for a walk at midnight. And I tell you, I needed it. It was good because obviously all these things going on. And I look out, the moon was like a half moon last night, just like a line down at the dark and then the light. But I was thinking, as Jesus saying, you're the light of the world, that light shines through the darkness. The stars, and they were beautiful last night. It was warm. I was like, man, I felt like it was spring. I'm walking out there in the beauty of this, and I'm saying, Lord, are you going to change things in America? Are you going to turn us around, or are we going to see some of these unthinkable things? And that's my concern this morning. I want you to go home and read Revelation 18 again. I'm not going to read it all for you a second time, but you look at this thing, and you see the things that are spelled out to us here, and it's like, dear God, I don't want us to be Babylon the Great. I don't want us to be this nation that has turned its back on God, shaken our fist at him like all the nations that have come down throughout church history. And at this point could be the beginning of the thing we're going to look at next week, this one last one world government, which I see things popping up all over the place. Have you heard about the basically of 2021, the financial reset that they're going to do? It's like, oh, yeah, there's lots of things. And this isn't coming out of some prophet talk here. This is actually happening in the economic circles. And all these things going on to bring all the economy, because this isn't just going on in America. This is going on around the world. The British have locked down. The Israelis have locked down. Australia's locked down. Now we're told if Joe Biden gets in, we're going to lock down. And what is this doing? It's destroying the economic well-being of all the people, all the small businesses, making us to a point where we're going to need someone to help us. And that is going to be what we're going to talk about next week, the rise of this couple of individuals, not just one. It's going to be kind of like a Jesus and John the Baptist, except it's not going to be Jesus and John the Baptist. So anyway, so this morning, what is our response to this? Do we want to run in the mountains and hide like some are? No, not at all. Not at all. Do we want to move to another country? No. I want to go down with the ship. If we're going down, I'm going down with the ship. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to plead with my family, with my friends, with my neighbors, with all the people that I come in contact with, that there is a God in heaven who loves us. He is here for us, and Jesus is who he said he is. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and he is calling people to come to repentance and to recognize that he cleanses us from our past. He sets our feet on a solid rock and gives us a reason to live. And all the suicides going on. I had the funeral of a veteran this week, and hearing some other veterans sharing, 23 veterans a day are committing suicide. And not just veterans. Around the country, suicides are just escalating. And it's like, Jesus is the reason to live. He is the reason that we need to move forward. And we need to keep our eyes, and I prayed this earlier, and I'm going to end with this. We pray that we get our eyes on the goal. What is our calling? We are called, Jesus said, to build his church, against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's our job. That is our job as pastors, to teach you the truths of the Christian faith and to put them into practice, to live them out. And I want to encourage you. I see you involved in the community, reaching out at the New Reflections House, at the food shelf, at the men's Greater Hayward House of Hope for Men. We see these things going on. And not just us, the other churches too, they're supporting and helping. It's great to see, and that's what we need to do. But don't get angry and mad and consumed by all this garbage going on. Keep your heart tender before God. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. And we are. We're being sent out. But we need to draw near and take Jesus' call. As he said to his disciples just before he ascended into heaven, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I have preached my guts out, and I know I went a little long today. But Lord, I pray that everyone in this sanctuary, it's serious, the days we're living in. And I do. I think a lot of the church is asleep, has no clue what could possibly be on the horizon. And as we read in our passage, in 1 hour, life can change. Boom! Things happen. Things happen. And Lord, we do. We come against a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, we pray that no one here, no one that hears this message would have a spirit of fear, but that we would know why we're here, what we're here for, and where we're headed, that we stand together with brothers and sisters in Christ around our community, around our state, around our country, around the world, and that we live out this gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we are looking forward to the day of your appearing. And until that day, we are about our Father's business. We are doing what you've called us to do as your children. Help us, Lord, to not get caught up in this Babylonian spirit, this religious spirit, this spirit of political garbage that's going on, Lord, but that we're drawn to that close, intimate walk with you, the God who loves us, who's calling us into his side to find the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I hope everyone knows that I pray this for myself. My wife sees how bothered I am. And I heard a few other wives sharing today how us guys especially can get really ticked off and upset about things. And Lord, it is. We need your spirit to keep our spirit right. So Lord, help us as our hearts cry. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. And thank you for this opportunity. And anyone that wants to talk more about any of this, boy, let them. I love to talk about this stuff. And Lord, we thank you that your spirit is here to direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.